Hey everybody, JJ Cooper, Jeff Ponce, another Baseball America Prospect Podcast. Great to see you guys. Sorry that this is a little bit late because we were waiting for spring breakout rosters to come out, and not MLB's fault, it was the team's fault, but I mean, I think the last team roster came in like an hour before they announced them, but basically they did not announce the actual rosters until 11 o'clock the day before we have games, which kind of hard to talk about the rosters until you actually have the rosters. So here we are. You know, apologies for we're not in our normal setups. Both of us are down here in Florida, different sides of Florida, but Jeff just got done covering the WBC, which basically bucket list event. You know, you've now seen two finals that I think will be among the five greatest games you've ever seen in your life, especially five greatest environments. Fair?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue this was probably the best sports environment that I've been, even in comparison to the 2023 WBC, and being there for Japan and USA. You know, no disrespect to my own home country, you know, my team of rooting interest, the United States, or Japan, which, you know, a baseball culture that I have a lot of appreciation for. But I think just from like the fun element of it and the location of it being in Miami, and just the amount of the large Latin population there, large Venezuelan population there, large Dominican population there, with both of those teams. So I was there for all semifinal games and the final. The environment was electric. I would say the semifinal between the United States and DR was probably maybe like 60-40, 65-35 in favor of Dominican fans. The Venezuela Italy game, as one would expect, probably was like 95% Venezuelan fans. It was an incredible home environment, incredibly loud. And I'll say this as well, like a very knowledgeable baseball crowd in terms of the things that they reacted to. And they brought a lot of emotion and fun to it. I had another friend who's not in the industry who went to the game with some clients, you know, in on a business thing. And I had suggested he should definitely try to get to the final. And, you know, he bought tickets months ago, sight unseen, not knowing who the teams were, had no rooting interest. Of course, he's from the United States, so was cheering for the U.S. But like yet today, when we were talking about it, he was just like, wow, like the environment in terms of the noise, like the party element of it, how every moment in the game, every inning really seemed like a chapter, you know, like it the game itself feels different. And I say this as someone who goes to over 100 baseball games a year and watches mm-hmm. baseball, you know, 9 to 10 months out of the year. So I have a good gauge of it, and it's just a different experience. I think it's like a World Cup or, you know, an NBA finals. That's what I can compare it to. And I'll say in terms of how loud it was in Lone Depot with the roof closed for all those games, the passion, the noise, and just the ability to make a lot of noise, chant, and just like overtake sound. It was as loud as anything that any sporting event that I had been to. I think it might have been the loudest, and it got like progressively louder each night and really culminated last night. I mean, when I left the park, there were still Venezuelan fans chanting and hanging out and dancing and celebrating in like, you know, the mezzanine area, and then like the outside that they have like a
concert. They may still be there.
They hung out like the previous game, but like Japan, United States fans kind of, you know, dispersed and didn't hang out as long. 70% of that crowd was there an hour afterward as this trophy presentation was going on, and the guys were hanging out in the fields with their families, and they were just enjoying the moment. So it had a different feel, and you could tell that just it meant a lot to, you know, the Venezuelan people that were there. And I'm sure like a pinnacle, you know, for them in terms of like their baseball culture, you know, reaching this top. And I think when you look at the teams that have now won the WBC, JJ, you know, Japan, obviously three times. They've dominated this tournament historically. The United States, Ventures of the Game, all that sort of thing. Dominican Republic, I think, you know, one of the most exciting styles of baseball. We saw a lot of that. They were well represented in one of the greatest games I've ever watched. I actually think that is the greatest WBC game that I've ever been to, just in terms of the back and forth, even more so than last night, even more so than Japan, USA. And then now Venezuela. And I think when you look at the big four in terms of producing the elite talent in baseball, it is those four countries. You know, Venezuela in the last 15 years has produced three different MVP winners and, you know, Miguel Cabrera, Ronald Acuna Jr. And of course, I'm going to totally blank on who the third one is, but oh, Jose Altuve. So, you know, a lot of stars. And I think like we talked about the Dominican lineup, we talked about the USA lineup. That Venezuelan lineup was still incredibly strong. That was a really strong team and exciting to see, you know.
But we are here today to talk about the spring breakout rosters, which again, we will be at. We will both be, I'm doing, as we're recording this Wednesday night. It'll post, I know, on Thursday before the games go live, but I'll be at three games on Thursday. I am living the dream. I'm going to be at every Atlantic Coast side game. So we've got, I think it's start, I can't even remember, but basically I'm going to see Cardinals, Astros, Mets, Nationals, Rays are coming across. And who did I forget there? Astros and Nationals, Fair Park, Cardinals, and Marlins. Marlins is the other one. So I'm seeing all of them tomorrow. And then I'll be at Bradenton on Friday for Tigers Pirates. And then I'll be in Clearwater for Phillies, I think Blue Jays on Saturday. You're seeing, I think, four games or three?
Four. So I'll be at Phillies versus Twins tomorrow. Then I'm going to attend Red Sox at Orioles on Friday. Then Saturday, I'm going to double up. I'm going to do the Phillies Blue Jays. And then I'm going to go see Braves at Yankees a little bit down the road. So try to do all
with the things.
There's a chance, depending on how the Red Sox Orioles game goes, how quickly it is. If it's like in the third inning over in Bradenton, I'm just crazy enough to drive over there and just see a few innings.
So, okay, the rosters are out. Check out baseballamerica.com. We have all analysis of all the games, all the rosters, ranked every team's in tiers and all that. You know, but I want to say, though, like, again, I'm not faulting MLB on this. This kind of really falls on the teams. I know it's World Baseball Classic year, which did kind of throw a little bit of a sand in the gears here, because you do legitimately have players who are just getting back. I was at Mets camp on Tuesday, and Nick Morabito basically walks in and playing in his first game now that he's done with Team Italy, right? Elmer Rodriguez. There's a lot of these guys who have just gotten back. If your team made a deep run, you have been busy. And so I know that that's all true, but This one, I just feel like a little bit this year, we had the preliminary rosters, which could basically be summarized by most teams. I don't think that most teams put a whole lot of work into that, because if you're including players who we know are not going to play until August or September at the earliest or on your prospective roster, you just went, yeah, I'll just put them on there, right? Like, we saw that a lot, right? Like, I don't want to pick on a team, because it's not like the Cardinals were able to do it. It's like, you look at the Cardinals roster, it's like, I don't think Ishan Henderson or Brandon Clark are playing in this game, considering I don't think that they'll be pitching at that point. You look at the Marlins, and it was like, I'm pretty sure Thomas White's not going to be in this game, since we don't think he'll be pitching. You know, he's going to be on the IL to start the year, probably. Things like that, where just team after team, where it was like, it was meant to show here's what it could be. But when you have those rosters hanging out there until the day before the game, it kind of feels like that the cool stuff got taken away from us when now the day before the game comes out and we're like, oh, it's not going to be Connor Griffin versus Kevin McGonigal. Kevin McGonigal's not going to be in the game. And that kind of thing just, I felt like the rosters today felt very underwhelming in part because of what they rolled out before.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of it. I also think giving it a little bit of runway in terms of the roster release, let's say, you know, it had been on Monday. And I don't think it's not going to take away from the WBC or something like that. So, you know, I wouldn't view it that way. So I think to me, I don't really understand, like, when the games are starting tomorrow, you're not really giving it the proper opportunity to maybe convince some folks to tune in, attend, whatever. I think some of the names and like building up that release a little bit more, and giving it, like I said, at least a few days runway, if not a week. And we understand there's injuries, things happen, guys get scratched. Dealing with someone getting scratched for a legitimate reason and just replaced by another player, that stuff happens all the time, right? Nothing's ever 100%. So I think if it's like trying to avoid that, then like, you know, that's sort of silly. But I don't really understand the way that they did this with like almost like pool rosters. And as you said, there were players, I remember the Reds in particular the Orioles had, you know, guys who are recovering from Tommy John surgery that were listed. And it was like, well, that's impossible unless he's learned to throw with the opposite arm. So, you know, it's just, I
didn't even see that.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't fully understand how it was released this year, but now at least we have some rosters to look at, dig into, and look forward to, I think, next year's game, and that whole tournament for the first time. There's a lot of interesting wrinkles that are coming. So, everything is always a little pushed down because of the WBC. So, you know, maybe that's just a collateral.
Fair trade if we're doing that, if we're trading it for WBC, because WBC was incredible. But like, again, you do see also that this is what's tricky. Also, we are in a year where you do have a lot of top prospects who are battling for big league jobs, and teams have a different approach on this in some ways. I think partly teams somewhat have a little bit different approach depending on whether you are playing at home or on the road, right? So we get Connor Griffin playing for the Pirates because it's in Bradenton, but we don't get Kevin McGonigal. But I shouldn't say that entirely, though. The Yankees are at home for this game on Saturday against the Braves, and they only have one of their top, like, 14 prospects in the game. Like, it is something where you're looking at the Yankees and you're like, oh, are we going to get Spencer Jones? No. Are you going to get, Carlos Del Granje? No. Are you going to get Elmer Rodriguez? No. You can just go down the list. It's like, no, you're getting George Lombard Jr. And then you're getting the back of the top 30, which is not a great top 30, and a lot of guys who aren't ranked. The value, the quality of these teams, I would say, we ranked them over there, but like you look at the Brewers look really good. The Mariners look really good. There are teams out there that are really kind of pretty stacked. Dodgers White Sox game looks like it'll be really good. There are some games out there.
I think the Cardinals, I thought that looked really good. I thought the Rays roster looked pretty good.
Rays hitters, but not the pitchers. The pitchers, all the best pitchers were out in that game, which is strange.
Yeah, it's not some of the top names, but they always have a couple of like sneaky arms too that maybe, you know, you're going to see something a little different. Like Urbina's in it, Brito's in it, Ferret's in it. So yeah, you know, maybe there's another one or two guys that, you know, we're not all that familiar, at least I'm not all that familiar with, that could be interesting. So I thought that was an interesting roster, just in terms of like, there were a lot of good position players, like you mentioned.
A lot of good position players there. And that's one of the things we're going to do. So we're going to have a little game here for today's podcast. So Jeff and I are going to ping pong back and forth, and we're going to try to pick out a player. You can do a couple if you want, but we're going to try to keep it a little bit. We're not going to tell you that you should check out Connor Griffin. He's in this Pirates breakout game. He's really good. We kind of figure that if you're listening to this, you know that. So what we're going to do, the rule says first round, we're going to pick players who we're excited to see who are top 10 prospects in an organization, but not top 100 prospect. No top 100 prospect on there. Then we're going to come back and we're going to do top 30 prospects who are not top 10. And then we're going to do guys who are not on a top 30 for us, but you know, we still are excited to see. So, Jeff, to kind of kick that off, who is the player that you are looking, or players that you are looking forward to seeing, who are a top 10 prospect in organization, but not in the top 100?
Yeah, I think for me, it's Anthony Ianson of the Red Sox. And I think you're just looking at somebody who the reports already in the backfields have been really good. We've had multiple guys that have had eyes on Ianson and reported on it, and Josh Norris and Ian Kundle. Both had video. Go check it out on Twitter. Stuff is way up. Shape's improved. Arsenal's a little bit tighter. We've seen this with the Red Sox before, taking some of these college starters in the last couple of years and really developing them. Conley Early being one, of course, Peyton Tolley being another one, et cetera, et cetera. There's a new crop: Witherspoon, Ianson, Phillips. I think all of those guys really make for interesting watching. Of all the spring breakout games I'm attending, I think the one that I'm most excited for is that Orioles Red Sox game. Even though it's not going to be the premier primetime matchup on that night, you're going to be there. I do really like that game and some of the depth on both sides. And those are guys I'm looking forward to. I always like to see the arms because I feel like I can take a lot more away from even a couple of innings and just seeing the stuff. Louis De Leon is one guy that had stuck out for me last year in the Orioles spring breakout game, and now is a top 100 prospect. So sometimes you do get decent looks, especially on the pitching, of just seeing the full arsenal, how it works, velocity, how it's coming out of the hands, the angles, all that sort of stuff.
So I'm going to go, I mean, this one's still like, this is flush with guys, but I'm just going to pick a guy to highlight that stands out to me. It's not going to be a game I'm going to be at. You know, it'll be something I'll be checking out, because again, all these games, by the way, will be available. I think MLB.com and many other avenues. We have the full list over in our How to Watch at BaseballAmerica.com. But I'm going to highlight Reds shortstop, and I put shortstop in quotation a little bit. Been playing more third base in big league spring training camp, and most scouts that you talk to don't think he's a shortstop long-term. Athletic, could be a center fielder, could be a third baseman. But Tyson Lewis, who has real significant power. I would say the swing like has a little bit of kind of like, you know, maybe he's going to have to make a few adjustments as he climbs the ladder, but there's real juice there to go with real athleticism. We have seen him already have like 110 mile an hour home run in big league camp. He hit 385 in his limited big league exposure this spring, but very excited to see him. Was mainly in low A last year. Could really say Steele Hall from that same Red team in our shortstop. There's a lot of young shortstops from that draft class of last year, the draft class the year before that, that are interesting to watch. But that's the guy that I'm going to pick out for a non-top 10. But again, I think in both cases here, we're talking about guys who we feel like have a decent shot to be in the top 100 at some point this season, depending on how things go. So, okay.
This one's for the dudes looking for peak bedroom performance.
Blue Chew is the number one chewable ED brand, and they just dropped their newest innovation. It is called Blue Chew Gold.
Blue Chew Gold dissolves under your tongue and works in as little as 15 minutes. Peak passion and peak performance in a single tablet.
That's right. Two ingredients for blood flow mixed with apomorphine and oxytocin to turn up the arousal and connection in your brain and body. This is the future of performance. Faster, smarter, and precision engineered for results. See why millions of men trust Blue Chew. Now with a gold standard upgrade that's changing the game for good. Make life easier and discover your options at BlueChew.com. And we've got a special deal for our FT listeners. Get 10% off your first month of Blue Chew Gold with code FOUL. That's promo code F-O-U-L. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
It's back to you. And Jeff, what about a non-top 10 prospect, but who is a top 30 prospect in an organization?
Yeah, so I'm going to draw a little bit from my early season backfield experience, though it's been limited to one day and then another day that was about two innings and then
much
deluge. Yes. And then a torrential downpour. Angel Feliz is a really interesting athlete. It's a big body. He's pretty twitchy. There's power there. And I think just the change in developmental philosophy for some of these younger players who do have tools within the Nationals organization is just an interesting angle to watch. I think a lot of these guys, just in terms of hitting approaches and developing bat speed and angles and like thinking about some of those things in a way that can be applied to, you know, actual performance in games. I think that's interesting. I think he's somebody that I saw was kind of intrigued by all the tools, the body, the projection, et cetera, and interested where that goes. So if I'm picking out one, even though I'm not going to be at this game, he's somebody that I saw early that kind of fits this description that I'm interested in watching and I think could be an interesting one. If I will throw out another one who's in the same game but is one of my organizations, that's Daniel Ortiz, who's just outside of the top 10 in the Cardinals organization. JUCO guy, kind of an interesting background, but can really hit. Contact skills are so-so, but good power, good angles, good approach. We'll be interested to see where that goes kind of in year two if maybe the contact improves a little bit. So that's another one. I think that's a really interesting game, actually, the Nationals and the Cardinals.
Well, this is a so mine is two guys I will get to see tomorrow. My third game of the day, it'll be the primetime game, Mets Rays. And that's going to be the two catchers on the Rays roster, which is Caden Bodine and Nathan Flewelling, who, now, if I said trivia question, who's the best homegrown Rays catcher in organization history? It's kind of a question that almost doesn't have an answer. That is not a position that the organization has really ever had any success at developing. You can call it the curse of Buster Posey, because there was the year that they had the choice and they took Tim Beckham and Buster Posey was on the board and they needed a catcher, and maybe this is the curse of Buster or whatever. But the Rays actually do have very intriguing catching prospects now. And, we've talked about Bodine on various podcasts before, was one of the best catching prospects in last year's draft. Questions about how much power, how much impact he's going to have, but really good defensively, really good contact skills. I'll be kind of interested to see, we're seeing a little bit, I won't get to see BP. I hate to say it, but I'll be in the car on my way there from the game before. But I'm also might be over at Charlotte on Friday after I get across Alligator Alley. So maybe I'll see him there for that. But he stands out. But I would really even highlight even more Nathan Flewelling, because Caden Bodine was so famous in the draft, but Flewelling had a great season last year, kind of an intriguing background, but really was more advanced last year than I would have ever imagined he would be. I know we've talked about him. I think he was my prospect, pick of the day on one of the podcasts last year, when we were doing, basically our picks at the end of each day of each podcast. But really good bat to ball, batting eye, but there's real athleticism, there's real power potential there. Just a very intriguing kind of combo package. And these are the Rays, picking from the Rays right now is kind of cheating on that, because this list, you get into the late teens and you're still talking about guys who would be top 10 prospects in other organizations. The trades that they made, plus the draft picks they've had and all that, kind of have really bulked up this system as far as its depth of, I wouldn't say top end talents, top 100 talent, but guys who are absolutely hey, I can easily project that guy to be a big league regular if everything clicks. You get to the 18-20 range, not many teams have guys that you're like, no, this is very plausible that can happen. So that sends it back to you. And this is the fun one. Now we're onto off of the top 30, guys who are in this game, who we did not rank in the top 30 coming into the year, but we still want to look forward to watching them in this game.
Yeah. So one of the guys I'm going to call out is another guy that, I kind of heard some positive things about, and I had seen him pitch last year actually against the Carolina Mudcats and their final season. Prior to Futures game, Mate was in the lineup, as was Luis Pena. and a variety of others. It was the full team. And it's Davian Garcia, a right-handed pitcher for the Nationals, had a really good breaking ball, good pitchability, but fastball shape was good. Velocity was like low 90s. He's up a few ticks. Things seem to be trending up there. He's an arm that I was told to kind of watch for. And I actually think that game has really interesting pitching on both sides. But he's a guy that's not in the Nationals top 30 that I think could be, you know, potentially a name that creeps onto it sometime this year.
So mine's going to be one that it'll be another guy Cactus League. We're not focusing just on the Grapefruit League games, even though we are both going to be at Grapefruit League games. Jesus Cano and Josh Norris will be covering the Cactus League games. I'm sure Bill Mitchell will be out there too. So we'll have plenty of coverage out there too. We, by the way, I should note, our goal is we will have someone staffing every single breakout game. So we should be able to see all of the prospects in here. I think 52 top 100 prospects, which is always great to say, because used to be, I've been at BA long enough that it was a long time ago. It was like crazy to think that we'd ever have a point where we'd see every top 100 prospect. And now we see in person every top 100 prospect. Basically, it's not even hard for us, to be honest. Like, we breakout games help for that. But we'll see 52. We'll see over half of our top 100 in a four-day span, which is kind of crazy. But so I'm going to go with Diamondbacks, Avery Owusu-Acevedo, who is a very kind of interesting profile. He is, it's been a slow burn for him, drafted out of Canada, you know, Canadian background, and he's 22, hasn't really kind of like, he was a Phillies prospect, and he was traded, very minor trade to the D-backs last year. But he's gotten a little bit of time at the big league camp. He's shown some really strong power in those little looks against, you know, again, in big league spring training games. Always been kind of a good straight line athlete. You know, he is a can run well, especially once he gets underway. But there's real power here as well. I am not like, again, this is not something where I'm like, oh, he's someone who, why did we not have him in the top 30? I completely get why he was not in our top 30. He is someone who you would say right now, I want to see more of, but there are loud tools there. There are interesting tools to kind of pay attention to. And with that being the case, that's the guy that I'm going to, you know, maybe he runs into one and we see like a 112 EV, a 114 EV, where you're like, okay, I really saw something there. Maybe we see that in a good sprint speed as well, because these will also all be in, StatCast.
Guys like that are built for games like this.
That's one of the things that I really do kind of, I would say that it's like, that's one of the things I think is kind of almost as important as, I mean, again, it's great. You got to see, I think you've gotten so far, you've had the best breakout luck of us, right? Because year one, you were at the main event, which was Skeens versus Holiday.
Yep.
Year two, you were at the Red Sox game where you just got to see great prospects do great things, Roman Anthony and
I think it's when the Roman Anthony, you know, lore began, right? Like, that was like the beginning of his like collection of the natural moments he's had recently, like that home run, and then he had the 470 foot home run or whatever it was at Polar Park in AAA before he got called up, and then he had that massive home run in the semifinal to help propel the United States into, you know, the World Baseball Classic final. So he's had some historic moments, and I felt like that was like in a year, like all that happened in his first year, you know, like big league year. So yeah, I think it's that was kind of like the jumping off point. That was a really good moment. I saw Treya Savage last year too, which I think was like the beginning of like his ascension. It's been a good collection of games. We'll see. Hopefully I get lucky like that again. I'd love to see that. I don't know if I'm going to, but.
So I did, before we ended though, I didn't want to, like, I'm going to go one now really far off, and feel free that you can do one too, Jeff, if you want. But again, we are hitting the backfields. I've gotten a little bit more backfield action because I've not been covering the World Baseball Classic. I've been covering it. I've been watching every game every night, but I've been a little bit more on the backfields this week. And What I would say with that is again, we always talk about how great the backfields are, where you could see multiple games going on at one time, very relaxed atmosphere, great looks, all that. But today was not one of those days where everything went right, right? Because get out there, it's misty, it's rainy. And I pull up, I'm at Astros camp, and I realize pretty quickly, it's like, oh, that's Astros players in both dugouts. And I kind of figured there was a chance of this, but yeah, the you know, I think they were players supposed to play the Cardinals A-ball teams, and because of the weather, they banged it. So they had live BPs instead, which is not the same. This is pitchers on the mound, they see their teammates, and the teammates were not wearing numbers or anything like that. So there is no way to absolutely to know, like, okay, there are 40 Astros hitters hitting between these two fields. I'm not going to know, you know, I can ask every now and then, but I'm not going to know every hitter and all that. So it's okay. But you make what you can out of it. And then you have these moments where something happens and you're like, oh, this was well worth my trip out here today. Because I got one of those like, hey, this guy, I've never heard of this guy in any way, shape, or form. I feel pretty confident. Jeff, he's not on your Astros depth chart. But I watched Charlie Weber, who is a pitcher from St. Louis, Billiken. I might say St. Louis, I mean the university, who's a non-drafted free agent of the Astros. And I just saw this dude. He's a sidearmer who could go submarine. He was up to really 91s and 2s today, but I was told he's been up to 5s and 6s at some points this spring. He gets low enough that, like, I actually saw him throw what I would describe as almost like an upshoot. Like, he had a breaking ball that broke up. But he was electric to watch. Again, it's BP, but he faced 6 batters. He struck out the first 4, one of whom actually ducked out of the batter's box on called strike 3, which I wish I had video of that. I don't have video of that, but it was great. Like, he ducked out of the way, like he thought he was going to get hit, but it was actually, again, that just gives you an idea of how hard a look that is, that angle from a right for a right-handed hitter. But he ended up striking out 5 of the 6 batters he faced. I thought he was going to go 6 for 6, but to his credit, some unnamed Astros hitter did actually finally put a bat on ball and put the ball in play. If there was no, probably would have been a ground out to second base, but there were no fielders. So that was a win, was just putting the ball in play. But that was good. That was just a fun, like, hey, I got to see this, you know, random player who I'd never saw. And I will say, if you told me, I'm not going to say 100% that Charlie Weber, who I don't really believe has basically any significant pro experience of any sort right now, and was a non-draft free agent, I'm not going to say 100% this guy's a big leaguer, but I will tell you right now, seeing him today, I would not be surprised in any way if you see this guy in a future big league pen. You can see he's unusual. That's always important. If you said, how would he fit in a bullpen, a right-hander who can get right-handers out, who can get ground balls, but not only that, but is a different arm angle so that it's going to make it a little bit more uncomfortable for hitters. You know, they're going to have to definitely be on the tragic machine before it, you know, to see him and try to get used to this. That's the guy who stands out. But I don't know, is there anyone that you wanted to, like, any other, like, finds you've had in your very limited backfield look so far?
Ooh.
It's okay to say no.
Yeah, I think at this point, no. Because I've had such limited looks between the Nats-Marlins game that lasted 2 innings. And then today with the Red Sox, and the Twins, it was the AAA and AA team. So it was a lot of prospects that are going to play in the breakout games, guys that you know, guys that have been in big league camp, top 100 prospects, Franklin Arias, Emmanuel Rodriguez, Justin Gonzalez, Brandon Winokur had a couple of balls in play. Kalen Culpepper was in that game. Gabriel Gonzalez. So it was guys like that. And then it was all big league pitchers. It was like all on both sides. So, it wasn't like I've seen a ton of it yet. I'll see more backfields probably after spring breakout, frankly, but, weird year. 'Cause I was covering WBC and then we just had such rain on the East Coast when I was out there that every day it pretty much rained. It wasn't until I was like a half hour outside of Fort Myers, all of a sudden the rain stopped and I actually saw sun for the first time in Florida outside of like a 3 hour window on Monday.
It's been pretty rainy here so far, but hopefully that will hold off, especially tomorrow and the next day, because we've got lots of breakout games to watch. So we'll have a lot more breakout coverage over at baseballamerica.com, and we'll be back next week on hopefully our regular schedule for the Prospect Podcast. But we do, you know, sorry that we had to wait today, but hey, we're glad to be here. We're glad to be getting to do this. And we thank you, as we always do, to the Baseball Most America subscribers, which allow us to do what we do. For Jeff, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.